Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You're listening to the Hour of the Time with your host here, Doyle Shamley, in Eager, Arizona. Tonight, Tuesday, the 15th of June, 2010. Now, I want you to be sure to take notes again, as always, ladies and gentlemen, for tonight's broadcast. Tonight's broadcast, if an agent knocks on the door. But first, the contact information. If you'd like to write the Hour of the Time, you may do so by writing Hour of the Time, or HOT, H-O-T-T, P.O. Box 940, Eager, spelled E-A-G-A-R, Arizona, 85925. Again, that's Hour of the Time, P.O. Box 940, Eager, Arizona, 85925. The website, hourofthetime.com, that's hourofthetime.com. The studio number, in Arizona, 928-333-2942. And the studio number in Canada, 613-733-4324. Now, if you'd like to share research or ask productive questions or send hate mail, you can email me directly at hourofthetime@hotmail.com. That's hourofthetime@hotmail.com. Now this evening we'll get dispensed with the cursory announcements first. Many people have been asking me about the investing in the junk silver. We've done the broadcast time and time again, and I want to give out a phone number to J&J Coins. They had actually moved about 2 years ago to a location just 6 miles down the way from their old location, and they still had their old phone number up on their website forever, which is actually good, till just about a month ago. Then they finally switched phone numbers to the new area. They're using both, like two warehouses, over the last couple years. But they're not webmasters. They're coin and new dealers and numismatists. And good people do advise you on your investing in junk silver or gold or whatever is your liking. So the phone number that works, because I've talked to them, is 618-942-4146. Again, J&J Coins, 618-942-4146. So there you have it, ladies and gentlemen, for that. And also, don't forget, the Hour of the Time is listener-supported. And your support in the form of donations for MP3 broadcasts, whether that's individual or topical series that are bundled together, PDFs, or DVD presentations, is how we keep our presence on the air and expand, which we're about to do, if you show enough support for it, ladies and gentlemen. That is the big deal right there. Now, we're about to, if we see enough support from the audience, go on to the major shortwave broadcasting as far as a frequency and time slot that is really good for us, really good for the listening audience. A powerful transmitter and time slot and frequency. So, some of the ways you can do that, again, go to the website, hourofthetime.com, and go to the Hot Shop. And there you can find all those various items, hundreds and hundreds of items. Also, join the Hot Club. The Hot Club's a wonderful way, and again, just like donating for research materials, With the Hot Club, you get something in return for your investment every month. You join the Hot Club, and at the end of the month, you get a disc of all the documentation used during that month, either as our on-air offers for free research or used in the documentation of the broadcast itself, and an MP3 file of every new broadcast for that month. Actually, I shouldn't say that. Every broadcast at our primetime slot for that month, which is 9 Eastern p.m., 6 p.m. Pacific, Monday through Friday. So that's a really great deal, a good exchange for both parties. You get a lot of MP3s, a lot of documents, PDFs, etc. Useful material, ladies and gentlemen. At the same time, you're helping Hour of the Time constantly expand and do more activities. Now, remember, ladies and gentlemen, Hour of the Time is solution-oriented. And I dare say one of the very few out there, out of the thousands of hacks out there portraying themselves as patriots and selling you overpriced rip-off goods and pimping their DVD the whole time or screaming through their stupid bullhorn. We are solution-oriented, ladies and gentlemen, because screaming and preaching to the choir has never gotten anything done, and we've known that for years. We offer you real solutions here. So if you want to partake in that endeavor to help freedom and help restore freedom to all people across this land and around the world, then you need to help Hour of the Time. So don't forget that as well. Now, after this musical break, right now, we're going to cover some of the recent events here that have been going on with speaking engagements and whatnot. I've had a lot of questions lately, and I want to fill you in on some of the great new deals we're doing out here in the Southwest and the Western states in general that you folks around the rest of the country need to be attempting, and not just attempting, but seeing through to fruition and completion the same thing around the country if you plan on restoring freedoms. Now, if it's too much work for you, if it's easier to sit back and just gripe, then go listen to someone else because you're at the wrong place. There's plenty of infotainment. That's their own words. I'm not putting it in their mouths. Plenty of infotainment out there. Go there. Have a grand old time griping and bellyaching day in and day out about the same stuff. But if you want to get something done, you need to be paying attention, taking notes, and putting it to action on the ground. So after this musical break, those updates, and then get into If an Agent Comes Knocking. ladies and gentlemen. Again, your host here, Doyle Shamley, in Eager, Arizona, with the hour of the time, Tuesday, the 15th of June, 2010. Now, ladies and gentlemen, tonight only, again, Tuesday, 15th of June, 2010, if you email me at hourofthetime@hotmail.com directly, I will send you a really neat little PDF book I received. It's a about, and it's called An Illustrated Journey of Christianity and Its Building in America. I think you'll like this book. You don't have to be a Christian to like it. I know there'll be several people email me with absolute asinine, I'm sure, comments about how they're agnostics or atheists or deists or whatever, and that they don't want the book. Well, I'm going to say ahead of time, then don't email me. It's a free offer for your research if you want, okay? It's a really good PDF, though, actually. A lot of good history in there. I think you'll enjoy a lot more than you would have gotten in school, that is for sure, if you went to a public school system campus. But that is tonight's free offer on the, we'll call it, Christian History in America. Email me with that, Christian History in America, and I will send you this excellent book. And I think you'll enjoy reading it, no matter what your viewpoint is. I kind of find it funny, actually, in the comment areas or emails when people tell me things like that, because there's this one idiot that emailed me with a bunch of blather like that. And I said, well, why don't you tell me exactly what your hedonism is? Because he claimed to be a hedonist, and he couldn't even define it. But he knows he's a hedonist and hates Christians. So whatever. If you got your head in your rectal defilade, don't bother emailing me, please. But if you want some good research from just a different viewpoint, then certainly email me again, hourofthetime@hotmail.com, for that PDF book. And I may upload it and just send you a link. But either way, email me tonight and tonight only for that. Now, I'm sure many of you have seen out there the goings-on in the political area. People like McCain, who's a blatant liar and a Manchurian candidate. And, of course, you know, what's making all the headlines right now is Etheridge and him assaulting a couple college students or whatever they were, whether they were college students or whatever, I don't know. I don't know what school they go to or anything. That is the story being purported. That Representative Bob Etheridge, Democrat out of North Carolina, I've seen the videos, they've been on the Newslink list already. But you look at this arrogance out there, and ladies and gentlemen, if you don't push to get rid of scumbag derelicts like this permanently out of any office, you're going to get what you deserve. Now, unfortunately, that person should have beat his ass, that congressman's, in the name of self-defense. Because as long as they keep getting away with it, they're going to keep doing it to people. The arrogance, the very arrogance of a person who is supposed to be a public servant, to even act or behave like that if it isn't in their own defense, you know, as far as using force in their own defense, but just to do it is absolutely out of line. I don't care, because I've gotten some crappy responses after writing Etheridge's office, what they think. And McCain's, I hope they're listening tonight. I don't really care what they hear, because it comes down to that saying, you can't polish a turd, but you can roll it in glitter. And that's about 9/10, if not more, of everybody working in Washington, D.C. fits in that category. Now remember that, ladies and gentlemen, next time you see one of these idiot, arrogant, stuck-up, egotistical, megalomaniacs running their mouths without any facts. And I hope you call them to the mat in any public meetings that are ever held within any reasonable distance of you getting to them. And I hope you do that. Now, out here, what's been going on is we've been having forums, if you will, on issues and inviting people, if they've got the intestinal fortitude to show up, that are running for office. Now, over a long time period of watching certain, for this new batch coming in, running for this or running for that, or just disgusted, have come out of retirement, business owners, who, you know, all walks of life coming out running for different offices now. I've been watching a few certain ones and attended speaking engagements that were put on by people that I can't even stand at all. But just go there and sit in the audience and listen and watch. How do they answer to questions? Does their story change from engagement to engagement or audience to audience? Do they know the Constitution? Do they know the rights? Do they know the supremacy of the state and county over the Fed? And I have finally, I can truly say, found some, and I had before, but a lot came out at our last speaking engagement, the one I emailed you some correspondence and news tidbits. We were setting up last Friday, and many of them wanted to get on the ground, see what we're talking about in the economy, and go on like a tour, if you will, of everything from parklands to water rights to property rights to forest health to cattle and grazing to mining, and be led by us on tours. Well, not everybody can go do the tours. And everybody's, you know, quite often, well, we need you to go. You're the brains. You're the one doing all the talking. I said, no, you guys go do it. You know a lot more than you give yourself credit for. And a lot of the members of our preeminent in the whole country property rights group do. They are well rehearsed now. And yes, maybe it is 99% because of myself an hour of the time. But it doesn't matter. They've taken it upon themselves to do the reading and learn it. Sometimes they just need that little moral push, that little kick in the butt, if you will, that yes, you can do it, go do it. So we were out at the facilities at the auditorium, and they just left. And I was running all the audio-video equipment to get it set up, and I don't get a lot of help with that because a lot of people in the organizations, yeah, they can do email or whatnot, but they get real gun-shy when it comes to setting up stuff like that. And all the little things, taping cords to the floors so people don't trip on them, and et cetera. Now, we had already had several hundred RSVPs, and so it was looking real great. And they just left, and I went up the way to get another roll of duct tape and saw the plane. But there's been some spot forest fires around, so there's been a lot of spotting planes around. Now, we have one of the largest municipal airports that's like, as in just teeny private-owned thing, no corporate airliners flying in the country. And a lot of people come up here for the aerial photography because of the beautiful landscape and to get way back into hunting and fishing areas, etc. So that's no big deal. And it hit right where we had just been. It missed us by, depending on what car went which way, and I didn't go on the I wasn't taking them on the tours because I have to speak all evening and set it up. The technical side, they do the advertising, the food, refreshments, tables, all this stuff. In this case, we split the duties up. But anywhere from 3 minutes down to only 30 seconds were we out of that flight path, if you will. If crashing a plane in the ground's a flight path. So we did what we could do, and I called and got everybody reconnoitered and gathered back up. We had head counts, everything, because we're already setting up as now inside of burning buildings, so obviously we're not going to use that for the evening. But don't, you know, if you're handed lemons, make lemonade. Have you ever heard that? So we quickly pulled together, got a new building in town, a big old giant community building at the fairgrounds, or the rodeo grounds, I should say, not fairgrounds, the rodeo grounds, ran by our posse that we have here. We have a legitimate sheriff's posse that's independent of the sheriff's office, as it should be. And just a matter of minutes, we've got keys, we're unlocking it and setting up out there. Now, luckily, I've got lots of spare wires. I have no idea why, but we threw together a whole nother audio-visual system with speakers, mics, mixing, everything, and still pulled it off. Now, and to consider this, that even the upcoming or right now candidates, but hopefully in some cases, future leaders, I hope, as far as an elected office, if they win, and they should, have all their stuff in the buildings. So this is a good test. How do they react on their feet? Now, it's kind of humorous because one of the people that's running for Congress, his own wife, after we pull it all together and I'm done speaking, after the introductions, I spoke for, 30 minutes or something, with overhead displays, like a just displayed on a digital projector, not a PowerPoint, showing documentation, numbers, critical plans, as in to hurt us and hurt our freedom and to take more and more rights away, but show all the documentation. Don't just blather on about, yeah, it sure is bad. We sure are losing our rights. You got to do that, ladies and gentlemen, when you're doing these engagements. And all of you should be doing this wherever you live. Okay? But this potential congressman, he's a candidate. He has served in our state senate in the past, and he retired. But he's seeing such a Charlie Foxtrot around this country that he feels compelled to run. Now, he's got an F rating on the scorecards from almost every far-left organization in America. So that already gives him a good step up, in my mind, because that they're willing to openly target him and spread that around their petty little peon membership that he deserves an F rating. And so did another one running for governor that we had there. But what's really neat is they took a lot of education we gave them and then walked away. I just said, here it is, a while back, in some cases a year ago, 2 years ago, 2 months ago, and said, get on it, check it out, try to prove me wrong, and get back with us. Well, they're here. They were willing to show up, several of the candidates, and of course, a huge amount of public. Now, considering we had no way from a huge disaster zone that's on fire to divert people to a new building, because we had to reset up again, we couldn't waste anybody over there in the danger area just to divert cars. Our attendance was affected, but we still pulled in over 150 people when the bulk of the town, or people coming from out of town, just figured once they saw it in the news that, oh, it'll be canceled. So that's still a great turnout for a whole move, different building, different time, and, you know, bumped up half an hour later. A wonderful event. And I noticed which ones took notes and didn't and addressed what they were told to address. See, I, speaking first, as usual, told them all that, and the audience, this is the time to be critical of anybody running for office. Hammer them. The time for just electing the lesser of two evils that so many people do out there, or kind of just taking who's in the party that you usually align with and whatnot. People, that is what has got us in this train wreck we're in. It is time to critically analyze, and I told them point blank up front, I don't want to hear any BS rhetoric of robotic arms waving flags. I want to hear what you've done that you can categorically prove in documentation in the past, and what you can prove with your research you've done thus far and work you're already putting, you know, getting the gears turning now, that you can do if you get in an office. And one of them didn't address it too much, but she was really flabbergasted with her notes and everything she had planned being gone. And that's okay. You know, she was purely flustered because she has a track record, and many of you on the news list will have seen many of the little articles she's written about getting us a lot of property and jurisdictional rights on the floor of the state senate to our benefit, letting us come down and testify and having it televised on all the big stations throughout the state. She was just flustered. She would have done a lot better had the day not gone as it had gone for her. But one of them, though, when I heard his stuff, I noticed talking, he took notes, running for Congress. And as far as voting, I found my candidate. I went through all of them that have thrown their hat in the race so far, and they hem-haw and move around stuff, and he went way out on a limb. And the thing is, I've seen him do it before without me asking a single word, doesn't know I'm sitting in the back of a room. So he's not changing his viewpoint or his stance or his past experiences based on the audience. It's true, it's documentable. But I got up at the end of the event, because he spoke towards the latter part, and I point-blank said, do you realize that the government of this country does not represent any longer any of the issues of our Constitution, nor of the free people, the freemen of the several states? And do you realize that you are pushing politicians, that is, this country, into a state of bloodshed? And that when the rubber band snaps, all hell is going to break loose. And then do you realize that millions of us took an oath and remember that oath to protect and defend the Constitution against all enemies, foreign and domestic, the most important, and that we are ready to do so in a heartbeat? And his reply was, I would expect nothing less, having taken the same oath myself. This is him speaking, ladies and gentlemen. And the point and time of people backing off to be polite and worried about avoiding bloodshed and harsh realities at the expense of freedom can no longer be entertained. It's time to push back. Now, ladies and gentlemen, I've seen this stance on multiple occasions, and I'm glad to see that he was willing to answer this with the big three, your CBS, NBC, ABC news cameras at our event rolling. He didn't back off. He had the guts to say it. So I'm proud of him. Also, candidate for governor. Another candidate, obviously. This one's for federal Congress, as in Washington, D.C., for us. But one for governor. We've worked with extensively, checked everything we out said. He's proven through research the ability of the state and counties to be supreme over any federal entity, except on lands of state by proper authority of the state assembly and signature of the governor with fiduciary and jurisdictional responsibilities outlined, in other words, an enabling act, ceded and then adopted by an act of Congress assembled as federal property. Minuscule amounts, hardly any of it. He has proven and whipped him multiple times in court on rights and property grabs from federal agencies, physical property grabs, policy that would strip rights away from citizens of Arizona, and he's not even an elected representative anymore, and he still takes him to task. Now, he also had served in our state senate in the past, and now is running for governor, and it was good to see him say, I have checked out everything you guys have documented. I've used it, which is true, to our success of the state and all the several states, because he whipped them in a heartbeat in the circuit courts, the leftist and the agencies that would strip your freedoms from you. And as he put it point blank, upon me posing a different question, not the oath one at the end of this Congress person, man, I posed to him some other questions about, well, what are you willing to do if you're governor? Do you realize your full authority and what needs to be done? And as he stated and has proven already in the courts with various actions against agencies, he said what needs to be done is everything that was not properly ceded is stripped of them, all authority stripped anywhere outside those small areas of jurisdictional venue that they may have, and only the small legal areas, everything stripped from them. And let's see what they're going to do. What are they going to do? Come and arrest the whole state? And I asked him more detail. Well, I want some more. Come on, let's hear it. Do you realize your full authority and the power? Yes, I do, he says. And he has the ability, and he knows it and openly said it, as governor, to call up and ask the counties to call up the counties, those who are properly in the unorganized militia, as defined in the codes of the several states. In Arizona's own code, I have it in my pocket. I've shared it on the air with you. Call up the proper age group that fits into the unorganized militia. The sheriffs have the authority to deputize those as well. And the governor to call this up in defense of our state and counties. And he said, by God, if that's what we got to do, then that's what we got to do. Because at this point, we can't stand to lose any more ground. It's impossible to lose any more ground and even think that you have an image or a taste of freedom. And it's at this point that we have to push back with all force available to us. And if that means taking everything away and allowing to then waiting for their reaction, lawsuits, armed goons coming into the state, then we will effectively handle them. Ladies and gentlemen, this is because we educated every one of these people. And they're doing this not just in front of us. They're doing this at events where they're getting quoted by the media where we're not even at, have nothing to do with, clear across the state. Because they're learning, and that's what you need to do, ladies and gentlemen, out there. There's no more time, ladies and gentlemen. You know, it's getting late, really late. And there's no time for messing around. I am proud of these men and women who are willing to stand up, that are currently in office, and say this point blank with the three major media rolling their cameras right there. I'm proud of the ones who have been in, left, hoping they could actually enjoy a life, or were businessmen and left, or whatever they were and left, and are willing to throw their hat in and try to restore all of our full freedoms. And I can tell you, they've got my support, and it's already started. I've organized a lot of help for them just since last Friday. They deserve that, ladies and gentlemen, for willing to take a stand like that. Like so many of us have been doing for years. Finally. And it's good to see it. And unfortunately, I'm seeing it in New Mexico, Nevada, Arizona, small parts of California, believe it or not, Montana, Wyoming, Idaho, and the East Coast is sitting asleep, it seems like, as usual. You need to get to work, ladies and gentlemen. If you don't have that going on, if you don't have candidates like that, if you're not pressing them in a corner, calling their bluff live in front of everybody, then you're not doing your job. Because you need to weed out who is going to be absolutely useless to us. Because the time of messing around is gone. It's lead, follow, or get the hell out of the way. And there's so many of them that fit that description, like McCain and the idiot back east, Etheridge, and so many hundreds and hundreds of bureaucrats and bean counters and administrative department heads that fit that very description I gave at the beginning of the broadcast. You can't polish a turd, but you can roll it in glitter. And that's all they fall into. They need to be dispensed with, flushed, if you will. Now, I hope all of you are taking heed of this and doing something. I'm sick of hearing emails and phone calls, and having face-to-face conversations with people that, well, I don't know where to start. I can't do it. If you are that pitiful, lazy, whatever, then just don't contact me at all. Because all you are is helping the enemy. You are the enemy. Just as much as the guy that blatantly votes on something, you are aiding and abetting the enemy. So get out of the way. It's time to restore our freedoms. And it's time for a lot of you out there to get off your ass and start doing something. All right, ladies and gentlemen, your host here, Doyle Shamley in Eager, Arizona, with the hour of the time. Don't forget to email me directly, hourofthetime@hotmail.com, for a free PDF book research offer this evening. I think a lot of you will get a lot out of, even those of you who define yourself as something and don't even know the definition. You'll still learn a lot of stuff, so it's always good to learn anything you can. Now, that offer, of course, tonight only the 15th of June, 2010, Tuesday. Now, ladies and gentlemen, visits and searches, harassment, overviews, watching, false staking, fake subpoenas, break-ins, intelligence gathering, political intelligence, as it's called. Bugs, wiretaps, whether they're roving or fixed. Sneak and peeks, PDA data. All of this data, ladies and gentlemen, is getting abused by numerous agencies nowadays, more so than ever before. And, of course, cronies all over Washington think it's all right to do that to you and your freedoms. So we're going to cover a few things, if an agent comes knocking this evening, about how you need to react. I've used it. I do it. I live by it. There's witnesses. It works. Now, if you can't do this, then again, just step out of the way. But one thing you need to really remember, ladies and gentlemen, is that you have the right to remain silent at any time. And oftentimes it may be, and I tend to not take this route personally, but you, if for many of you or the situation, it may be the best thing to do at the time. You still have a Fifth Amendment, ladies and gentlemen, and it's only there if you enforce it and use it. Now, that is easier to say than to do. That's why I go out and do it, and you can too. Now, agents of various agencies will look at the ATF or various Treasury or FBI. Almost all of them are lawyers and trained investigators. And they've been trained in the power of persuasion and the ability to make you feel scared, guilty, or impolite even for refusing their request for information. An agent of a federal agency, in fact, may, or actually any agency, doesn't have to be just federal, but an agent representing some agency, they'll even suggest that your unwillingness to speak to him or her means that you have something to hide. Or she or he may suggest that they only want you, that is, to answer a few questions, and then they'll leave you alone. The agent may threaten to get a warrant. I tell them like I go get one. I don't care, go get it. Ladies and gentlemen, don't be intimidated or manipulated by some agent's threats or assurances. If at all you doubt your abilities, which you shouldn't, if you're listening and doing the research from the broadcasting and the website, but if you do doubt it, and I hope it's not because of cowardice, then don't say anything unless you have counsel present. Witness at minimum. But maybe even counsel. If you do talk, anything you say can be used against you and others. Anything you say almost likely will be used against you and others. Even if you tell the whole truth, and an agent just doesn't believe you, he or she can threaten to charge you with lying to a federal officer. Now, there again, manipulation. Clearly, ladies and gentlemen, if confronted with this, convey your intention to remain silent. To say, I'm not talking to you. Or I'd like to talk to my counsel before I say anything to you. Or maybe you say lawyer. I say counsel. Maybe you prefer to say lawyer. You can also say, I have nothing to say to you. I will talk to my counsel or lawyer and have him or her contact you. Then you should ask for the agent's business card. and say that you'll have your counsel or lawyer contact them. That should end all of it. Now, there are exceptions on the talking and answering thing. Many of you may live in a stop and identify state, it's been called, or a state that has a stop and identify statute. And you can find that out through your state bar association. You can call your state representatives, your law enforcement agencies, check with lobbyist groups in your state. Check maybe with so-called activist attorney groups. They often keep track of these quite well. And see if you live in a stop and identify state. And all that means is that you, in that state, you're compelled to give your name and mailing address. Okay? That's it. And you stop there. Okay? If you know for a fact that you live in a stop and identify state, stop there, though, right when that's done. Okay? That's it. Because that should end it all if you hold your ground. Because 99% of the time, they're fishing. There are hundreds and hundreds of cases, okay, where agents and agencies have no basis for their questioning to begin with. They're simply out fishing, hoping to find something to have something to do. And the same basic rules apply if it's on the phone. You don't have to speak to any agent or agency that just spontaneously calls you. They'll often tell you you're not part of an investigation, and that may or may not be the truth. Get their contact information and tell them that you'll have your counsel or lawyer call them back, and then stop talking to them. Get the agent's name. Get the number. The agency, of course. It should be on their business card if it's a face-to-face thing. If it's a phone, have them give it to you. And they're supposed to be, and should be, willing to give it to you. They're probably not, though, oftentimes. As soon as the agent, he or she, I don't care, leaves you or hangs up the phone, whatever, you need to write down as many details about the interaction as you can. Time, date, what they look like, what did they drive, what was the plate on what they drove, what did they tell you, how did they act, was there two of them, was there three of them, was there a good cop, bad cop scenario. You need to write down all of these. Did they make any threatening gestures or comments? These details get lost over time, ladies and gentlemen. You need to do this as soon as this interaction is done. It'll be very helpful, this information, to yourself in a case and to your counselor or lawyer and to others who've been contacted by an agency or an agent. Remember, the questions and comments are just as important. Don't forget the dates, times, physical descriptions, what they were wearing, the vehicle, what was it, color, get a plate, all that information. Any witnesses that may have seen it take place, get their contact information. Most people, most of the time, their best route is probably to get counselor or lawyer service involved. Okay? If they're a good lawyer, which I know that's kind of an oxymoron, but if your counsel helps you, then they can help you set limitations on the subject matter of any future questioning. Be present at all times, and oftentimes, in one simple call or letter is all it takes. It's done. And with the advice of your counselor or lawyer, you may even consider publicizing the encounter to others who may be affected by a similar investigation. If people know that there are agencies or agents out there fishing for information to classify and create dossiers on certain activities or groups, organizing and public pressure can expose and limit this intimidation and fishing expeditions. More vigilance can be put up by all people affected and protecting their rights. These are all so important, ladies and gentlemen. You have to do this. Now, a situation may arise. I don't know when. I don't know your life. I don't know the situation where you feel it's advisable to talk. Perhaps you've been the victim of the crime, or you were a witness to some violation being prosecuted by another agent. Even in those circumstances, ladies and gentlemen, you need to have counsel present, lawyer present, whatever you use. You need to have witnesses. Often, in fact, a standing order, no different than an order in an organization to pay for business cards or gas to a meeting or something, a standing order, a standing motion of our property rights group is no interactions take place without another member of the group being present. Nobody just gets mad, and although you feel compelled oftentimes, but you don't do it, but you don't just run down and go across the county or state and talk to so-and-so agency. You have to have a witness. Just required. And we made that a bylaw in our little organizations, a little constitution, if you will. It's a very effective and useful tool, ladies and gentlemen. But maybe you feel not as secure or confident in your abilities or your research level, or maybe you saw something bad and are basically trying to report it. In that case, then you need to probably have counsel or a lawyer present. Okay? Now, how can this help? They can make sure your rights are protected while you provide only necessary information. If you just have a witness there, a friend from an organization you work with, a friend from your militia group, your church group, a co-worker, they may be able to help you from maybe getting all hot-headed and saying something you shouldn't have said. Okay? And they may also even help you avoid a witness's appearance before a grand jury. Or control the whole situation in general, even, so that everybody's rights are preserved. Now remember, if you decide for some unknown reason to answer questions, be aware that lying, if you've opted in and you're lying now, is a crime. And in fact, that's one of the very most important reasons not to talk to an agent of an agency. A standard enforcement investigative fishing expedition tactic is to discover as much information as possible about a person of interest, as they call it, to the government. And then they'll approach said person at an otherwise ordinary time, during dinner, a bus stop, going into work. Then they'll ask questions of that person to which they already know the answers. Now, for instance, they might ask you, do you know such and such person? And they already know ahead of time that you do. Or they might ask you if you were at such and such event, and they already know for a fact you were in attendance. Now you just say no, let's say. Guess what? You just lied to one of them. And they'll use that against you. They'll try to push, in fact, for a federal felony. Then you've got to have counsel or be able to do it yourself, fight on the grounds of jurisdiction. But they're going to try to push for a 5 to 8 year in prison sentence. So know what you're doing, ladies and gentlemen. I know a lot of you like to think you know what you're doing, but you've never tested it. You really don't stand up for your rights quite often. And when you do, you buckle or usually get diarrhea of the mouth. Don't do that. Now, the most daunting thing of this tactic that they use on you is that instinctively most people will answer no because they're scared, they're nervous, they don't know who this person is. This tactic is used extensively by people representing federal agencies. And it's used extensively to turn people into informants against former associates. Now, Now, you may have some local county task force or whatever, and they may have something on their own books as well, to that same regard. Okay? So don't talk. That's your best bet. And remember, if you start answering questions, for whatever reason you chose to, you saw something bad and contacted them. Something legitimately within their venue, their jurisdiction, their authority. And then they kind of are digging farther than you like. You don't have to continue. You can stop answering questions at any time. Okay? Now remember this. Now if they ask to search your home or your office or your apartment, don't allow them without a warrant. A proper warrant, properly filled out, and that's it. You are only legally required to allow enforcement agents of any agency into your home, office, or other private space if they have a legitimate warrant. Now, guess what though? They may, and they often do this, search your house without a warrant if you allow them to. And they are trained to constantly seek your consent to warrantless searches. Be careful of questions that are designed to elicit your consent to a search, for instance. Innocuous questions, like, do you mind if I come in? Simply allowing an agent to come in can be construed as consent to search the whole place. Yes, you and I know it's bullshit, but that's what'll take place. Just say, again, at a request to a search of any of your private space, home, office, whatever, that I do not consent to a search. Say it loudly and proudly, in fact, so any witnesses can hear as well. Okay? Now, another tactic is used. A coworker, a roommate, things like that. They're asked by an agent to come in. Now, those of you out there that share lodging with a roommate or whatever you have, just remember this. A roommate, and you're gone, let's say, they could consent to a search of common shared space and to their, as in his or her own space. But they cannot consent to a search of another person's private space, even in a shared house or apartment. So in other words, a roommate would have the potential to allow them to come in while you're gone and search the common areas, if you will, kitchen, living room, a shared bathroom, let's say, but not your private bedroom, your private closet, unless you share it with him or her, or it is used as a common space in some way. Spouses can consent to the search of their partner's private rooms because they're considered to have shared or dual authority over all space in the house. Similarly, parents to children. So to protect against unwanted searches, make sure your private space remains private. If you allow roommates to have mutual access and control over your private space, they can consent to a search of that space. Tell roommates, tell office mates, I don't care, anyone with whom you share space to never consent to any searches in any space that is your private area. Point blank. Make it clear. And this is really great even if you have an organization like our property rights group or whatever you might have. Have some basic bylaws that you've written and agreed upon with a date and who agreed it and it was voted on unanimously or whatever the vote was to approve these bylaws. Have it in writing already that a standing bylaw is that all information and correspondences and all that and in and outgoing mails are handled and then shredded immediately. That way you won't get accused of destroying evidence if it's already in writing as part of your standard operating procedures. Make sure you have that. Now remember, once you place trash, here's another area, outside of your house, people will search it without a warrant or any other legal restraint. Courts have assumed that you have no privacy interest in your trash because you're surrendering it to the general public. So again, shred or destroy everything and make sure it's part of your standard operating procedures and have that in writing and make it known. Now they'll often, of course, too, this is only part one tonight, ladies and gentlemen. This is going to be happening more and more to many of you, and you need to know how to prepare for it and how to handle the situation. Now they'll also oftentimes threaten you to get a warrant or a grand jury subpoena. Don't be intimidated, ladies and gentlemen, by an agent's threats to get a warrant or subpoena. It is one of the oldest tricks in the book, if you will. If it were so easy for them to just get whatever warrant or subpoena, they wouldn't have even wasted their time trying to get your voluntary cooperation to begin with. They would have just done it. Again, simply state that you will not consent to any search and that you will not talk without a lawyer present. Plain and simple. Or in my case, counsel. And that's an important legal separation there, ladies and gentlemen. Do some research, you'll know why I say counsel. Now this is just the beginning, ladies and gentlemen, some tips I want to give you over the next couple broadcasts. And I hope you took this to heart. You will be confronted with these situations. Now again, our website, hourofthetime.com. Your host here, Doyle Shamley in Eager, Arizona, Tuesday, the 15th of June, 2010. And tonight and tonight only, A Christian Background and History in America. Email me with something concerning that, and I'll know what you mean, and I'll send you either a link or the actual PDF, one or the other. And we do have permission for this as well. I hope everyone heeded what I was saying all evening. As always, I hope you took notes, and I hope everyone has a safe and a studious night.